Glenview. Welcome to God's house for worship, and I'm so pleased that you've come to worship today. It's a privilege to be together, isn't it, to worship God. What a beautiful, beautiful day. Is anybody here for the very first time? We have a small gift for you, a little popcorn to thank you for popping in. Thanks for popping in. Glad you came. Tell me your name.
Mac.
Mac, welcome. Welcome. Not your first time, I take it. No, but I'm glad you came anyway. Anybody who comes new, we'll be glad to give them a little taste of hospitality and thank them for popping in. So remember to invite your friends to Mountain View for worship.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lynn.
Hi. We have a few announcements. Please look them over in your bulletin, but I'm going to just mention a few. Today, from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, the Inclusivity Committee presents a panel discussion on sex, gender, and sexuality here in the sanctuary. A biologist, psychologist, and sociologist will be on the panel. A 25-minute presentation will be followed by a question and answer period. Everyone is invited. The Solos will return to Ahuya in Niwot this Wednesday, May 2nd at 11:30 a.m. Directions are in the bulletin, or you may meet others at the church shortly after 11 to carpool. Volunteers are needed to serve as rope holders at the Boulder Boulder on Monday, May 28th. Mountain View will earn $25 per volunteer, which will go towards the school expenses for Selma Adavu, the daughter of our covenant missionary. If you can serve, please contact Vicki Kaplan. The African Children's Choir is returning to Mountain View on August 17 for a concert at 7 o'clock. Host families are needed. If you can host 3 to 4 people on August 17, please see Pastor Sarah. Thank you. And now I'll turn it over to Chris for a Maypril moment.
Good morning. My name is Kristen Flewelling, and I've been a member of Mountain View since 1993, and I'm currently the chair of the Finance Committee. And as you know, this is the month of Maypril. When I was looking for a church 25 years ago, I wanted a church that felt like home to me and would be a good theological fit for myself and my two young daughters. I was raised in the United Methodist Church, and so I focused on Methodist churches in the Boulder area. I loved Mountain View because the sermons were meaningful to me, and the people here were friendly and accepting. And Sunday school was a nurturing and loving environment where my children learned about Jesus' teachings and they felt safe. As they grew into young adults, they had other kids their age with whom they could socialize and confide in. When times got tough, such as when the Columbine shooting happened, we had a warm and loving church family here that shared our feelings of insecurity and helped us to feel grounded and connected to each other. Mountain View has had a history of attracting people from diverse backgrounds and opinions that have been willing to listen to each other and learn from our different perspectives. We have so much to offer other individuals and families in our community. And there are so many in our community that need to hear God's message. But our environment is constantly changing. We need to invest in our ministry to make sure we can adapt to that environment and to grow our membership and our outreach to this community. We have a great staff and great leaders in place to have a breakout year of intentional growth. It is important to have both young and seasoned clergy that work well together, which helps create that model for our congregation and for our community. The church benefits from having multiple generations leading our ministry so that we can appeal to all generations in our congregation and community. We also benefit from having the different approaches to worship, music, and sermons. We also have the benefit of having two ministers available for pastoral care when we are sick or in need of individual counseling. Two clergy can have an impact on this church, community, and our district much better than one. I am asking you to donate to the MAPRL campaign so that we will have the money necessary to sustain our ministry and grow into the church that we all desire. I don't want to be a member of a stagnating church. I want to be a member of a growing and thriving church, and I think we all want that. Thank you for your support of Mountain View.
That you discover God's love in our midst. Thanks, Chris. You did it.
Congregational introit, we're ready to go.
Us today and strengthen our resolve, strengthen our resilience, strengthen our hearts to stay connected to you, the true vine, and let us, through your Holy Spirit, acknowledge your presence in our life, be humbled to wisdom, and ready to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, hey guys, how's it going? Did we have a good week? Yeah? It's getting to be nice and springy out there, isn't it? We're seeing all kinds of plants starting to bloom, right? Our grass is getting greener, the sun is out, all the signs of spring, right? Well, I have brought in some of these. I found these on the ground. There's some branches, right? Here, you guys, you wanna hold one of those for me? Down there, you guys wanna hold one of these for me? So I found these on the ground. My guess is they were knocked over when that big windstorm came through a week ago or so, right? So there's branches everywhere. So now look at these branches. Are these branches gonna grow any bigger? Are they gonna grow any new leaves? No, why not? Because they fell off of the tree, right? Without the tree to give them the food they need and the water they need and the nutrients. Exactly, they won't be able to grow. If these branches had fallen off of a fruit tree, we would never get any more fruit off these branches, right? So these branches are kind of done, right? They're kind of on their own now. So now tell me about this plant. I brought a plant in. It's not a tree, but it's a plant. What do you guys think about that plant? Is it alive? How do we know that plant's alive? Because it's still in the soil. What else, Julia? It's all together and nothing has fallen off. Anything else? What do you think? How do you guys know this plant is alive? Anything else? Well, those are good things. We know it's in the soil. We can see it's still planted there. The leaves are nice and green, right? This is actually called a Christmas cactus. We had these out at Christmas time here in church. And it will actually make flowers eventually, too, at certain times of the year around Christmas time. So even though it looks just kind of green and plain right now, we're going to see some nice fruit and flowers coming out of this thing in a few months here. So we know this is alive. We know the branches are not. We know that what makes this alive is that it's still in the soil. It's connected to the ground. We give it nutrients and water, that's right, and help it to grow, and also some sunlight. We know these branches are not going to do much else because they were on the ground, and they're not connected to their plant anymore, are they? So there's a story in the Bible that Jesus tells, and he says in the story, I am the vine, and you are the branches. I wonder what that means. Do you think your branch is like these branches, or do you think you're like this plant? Like the plant, you think? Why do you think you're like the plant? It's a tough question, isn't it? That's what Jesus was trying to teach us about. What do you want to say, Julia? Oh, there you go, Julia. We are like this plant because we are all together and nothing is falling off. That is right. So when Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, what he's saying is, I am like this plant. Jesus is like this plant. And when we are the branches, when we are the branches that have all these leaves on them, we are connected to him. And when we are connected to Jesus, we can do what Jesus wants us to do, right? We can bear fruits that Jesus wants us to bear. Fruits like kindness and love, right? And generosity. Those are all the things that Jesus helps show us how to do, right? And if we are disconnected from Jesus, like these branches, we don't have him anymore to show us the way, right? So we can't be connected to him anymore. So we want to think of ourselves like plants, like these branches, like these leaves. And the more we stay together with Jesus, the more we stay true to our plants here, then the more we can grow and grow and grow and share God's love with others, right? Pretty cool, huh? So that's that story today. So when you see these branches laying around, or when you see plants growing up big and strong, especially the big tall trees, think of how we're all connected to Jesus, okay? And how that connection helps us to grow into some pretty awesome people, huh? Can we say a prayer, you guys? Bow your heads and say, hey, God. Thanks for making us connected. Help us to take our fruits and be loving and kind and generous to everyone we meet. Amen.
Able to be such an able teacher for our kids. Vine and branches. What joys and concerns do you have today? Where have you seen God active in the world? Where have you seen God active in the world? Yes, Jane. The hummingbirds are coming back. That's wonderful, wonderful. That you don't catch them singing like the other birds. Do you know why? Because they don't know the words. You know, that joke just never gets old. I love it. I just love it. Hummingbirds are coming back. Where else have you seen God active? Yes, Pua.
Our neighbor Pearl came home from the hospital.
Praise be to God and for healing and love. Who else? Our daughter is 33 years young today, which is not possible because I haven't aged a single day. Celebrating 33 years. Concerns? Where have you asked God for help this week? If you're not asking God for help, you're not doing it right. Okay? So where have you asked God for help? Yes. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
They cheat.
That's when you pray for God really quick.
Yes, yes. They took the port out because she had been getting direct chemotherapy and other treatments through the port. And as she was doing it, the doctor said, oops. And this is when you pray hard, I think she said. Thank you for sharing that. And we're delighted to see your presence and to see your progress. One of our friend's brothers died, Parkinson's. He died at age 62. So we went to Colorado Springs yesterday to be with her and support her. And so prayers for the Crompton family. Who else? Anybody here praying for teachers? Anybody here praying for peace with North Korea? Anybody here thinking about this afternoon's Vitality Conference here at Mountain View? We're going to have a luncheon right after this service for folks who are interested in learning more about Mountain View. We have a few spots left. If you'd like to stay for lunch, I will buy your lunch, and then you can be right over again at 2 o'clock ready to go. So if you'd like to do that, talk to me after service, and I will see that you get lunch with anybody, so some folks who are interested in new members who might be interested. You could also tell them a little bit about your experience with Mountain View. So it's a value-added lunch. It's free. You can come, and it's free. Help us encourage folks to join Mountain View. Do you feel ready to pray? All right, in light of the message for today, I want to ask you to hold hands together as vine and branches. We as a community of faith are also connected to one another. Don't be out there all by yourself. No siree. Thank you. All right. Be connected. Be connected. And let us begin with silent prayer. Loving God, we are connected to you today because we acknowledge that we're not all that. We acknowledge that we need our egos pulled back, that we need our expectations trimmed, that we need to be confronted with other perspectives and be strengthened with knowledge and wisdom and humility, none of which we take to very easily. We pray this morning as a people of God, to be connected one with another and with you. That even though we go from this place as separate individuals, we go being reminded of our strength, our source, who is you, O God, through the Holy Spirit. We ask you to help us to remain connected to the true vine, even Jesus Christ, throughout the week, and to lay plans and to make expectations which unfold to your grace and glory. Help us to love one another as you have asked. Help us to love ourselves as we need. And help us to know that your limits on us are not meant as a chastisement, but as encouragement to grow. In Jesus' name, may we be recognized by you, Heavenly Father. May we be acknowledged as we give you praise and give you the glory. Amen. Let us continue to pray as Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand with me as we sing. Before you are seated, as I talk about reasons for giving, I contemplate April as an opportunity for those who specifically have not made a pledge to Mountain View. There are a number of us who find themselves unable to make a planned piece of giving, but an opportunity like April, like our general fund giving, is for you to consider a one-time gift. And we know that as you give to Mountain View, you're going to want to continue to do that. I'm really proud to be the pastor, the lead pastor in this congregation, and I think you should be really proud to be a part of it. So thank you for your gifts of every kind. May it give God glory through Jesus Christ. You may be seated.
And if you would like, I will not be offended if you want to sing right along. This is 2018 in the Faith We Sing hymnal. So if you would like to sing along just because you haven't had enough singing today, please feel free. Okay, here you go.
Righteous and holy in all of your ways, we come before you with honor and praise, here to adore you for all of our days. We come before you with honor and praise. Lord of all heavens, how faithful you are. Shine down upon us, O bright morning star. Righteous and holy in all of your ways, we come before you with honor and praise. Filling the temple, the work of your grace, we come before you with honor and praise, here to adore you for all of our days. We come before you with honor and praise. Lord of the heavens, how faithful you are. Rise in our spirits, O bright morning star. Righteous and holy in all of your ways, we come before you with honor and praise.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the smallest of gifts, Lord, the green bud on the tree, the flower of fruit promised, the presence of your holy that reminds us that we too are made sacred, made holy in your presence. Walk with us, give us peace. Thank you for these gifts and the givers. Help us to notice new life. In Jesus' name, we are connected to you. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture this morning is from John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You were already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The word of God for the people of God.
I wanted to give you just a little bit of insight into this anthem that we're going to do. It's actually an old, old hymn from the 1826 Kentucky hymn book. Which means by the time it made it to the hymn book, it had probably been around 20, 30 years. So this goes back several hundred years. And it will talk very specifically about basically what Pastor's going to be preaching on as well. If you wanted to see the original hymn, you can, believe it or not, just do an internet search. The original name of the song was not To His Garden, but it was The Garden Hymn. And it's about 8 or 9 verses. And if you read this, and this is from, you know, the old pretty conservative church. But if you read that, it's a beautiful text to read. So your homework is to go home and Google the Garden Hymn, and so you'll get all of the hymns, all of the words that we left out.
Always perfect, connecting us to the true source. For some reason, I'm always given a lot of books to read. Now, for those of you who know me, no, I'm not adverse to books. It's that I'd much rather do something than read about it. My brother recently gave me a book about this thick on the history of the Jewish people, and I know he will ask me the next time I see him, and so I've been busy reading it. It is a rich and deep history to which we all can learn a great deal. It just doesn't have to be in a book that thick. What Jesus is referring to here in Vine and Branches is not just an agricultural image. It is an image of the history of the Jewish people. It is the product of wandering away from God and being reconnected, of wandering away from God and being connected, of being taken away to Babylon and being brought back. It's a wisdom born of having been cut off from God our Savior, and it is a deep and powerful wisdom indeed. The agricultural notion of pruning back a vineyard has its wisdom in the fact that in the winter months, all of that summer growth, all of that summer harvest, all of that autumn activity has left a lot on the ground. Detritus, roots, leaves, branches, also the little eggs from bugs. Right? The little bacteria that's up underneath the leaf, the fungus is waiting there to pop out come springtime. And so it makes sense, especially with vines, to cut them back, to pull that stuff out, to take the weeds away, put it in a big pile, and to burn it away. It is the agricultural practice of doing this that allows the vine then to grow in its maximum form. And to grow healthy, a new start, fresh in the spring, even though as it gets cut back, it looks absolutely appalling. I'll always remember whenever we had the tree people come in, because my mother didn't trust my father to do it, how she would rue the day as they went through the yard cutting things back because they needed shaping, because there was a broken branch, because there was disease upon it, and the place looked like somebody just got a haircut. It was pretty extreme. And my mother, like me, who loves living things and holds her breath whenever growth happens in the garden, hoping against hope that something new will happen, just can't stand to have it cut back. But it's really necessary. It's really valuable. It's really important. What strikes me about this passage of text is that Jesus talks not so much about being successful as he talks about being fruitful. That's an important distinction. Theologian and Christian writer Henry Nouwen often points out the difference between the two. You see, fruitfulness comes from our connection with God. Success depends only on our own initiative, our strength, and our doing of a thing. Fruitfulness arises from inner spiritual growth that touches others around us. Success, which might just be known to yourself and a small circle, is based on our own strength and what we can accomplish. Today, the God of our salvation, through the scripture verse that we have read, seeks to remind us where our real strength comes from, friends. Even God, which produces the very fruitfulness and flavorfulness of life. Now, our grandchildren now are 3.5 and 1 years of age, and Beth and I find ourselves reminded of the days when our kids were that age, as I shared with you, our daughter's 33, which is next to impossible in my head, but I have a whole day to get used to the idea, right? But I remember when our kids were very, very young by watching our grandkids. One time, Carl was about 3 years of age. We were going through the grocery store, and just at eye level are all the magazines they sell. And it doesn't matter which eye level you're at, there are the magazines. And some of them have provocative pictures on the covers. And we're standing there in the grocery checkout line, and I see my son, Carl, 3 years old, looking very intently at a young woman on the page, on the cover. I asked him, "Son, what are you looking at there?" As I reach for my wallet to pay for the groceries, and in perfect innocence, he replies, "The breasties and the tummies." Last week, our young grandson, Wesley, got up extra early to watch TV. And when his papa got out of bed to join him, he found his boy mesmerized by a group of singing teenage Korean in a music video. He asked, "What do you like about this show, son?"
"They're mermaids, Daddy.
They're mermaids!" The fruit never falls far from the tree. Back in the day, same period, 1 year, we had a peach tree that just happened to put on a ton of fruit, just a ton. And by June, the tree was covered from top to bottom, groaning under the weight of these hundreds and hundreds of little fruitlets about the size of my thumb. Beautiful peach tree, amazing productivity. It usually bloomed about one every 3 years, otherwise the frost got it or something else, or, well, get the picture. One afternoon, on a sunny afternoon, our 2.5-year-old son, Carl, decided to climb the tree in his red Oshkosh by gosh overalls. He picked 100 of the choicest green fruits the size of a thumb, and he stuffed them into his pockets. He threw them onto the ground. He gathered them up in his little bucket and piled them into the kiddie pool underneath the swing. By the time I got home, fully 1/3 of all the fruitlets on that tree had been pecked off, unripe as they were, and a branch had been split and broken. I was absolutely beside myself. As the child of a person that watches carefully every bloom and sees every branch and notices every piece of fruit that might anticipate it becoming his way, you can imagine my disappointment. You know what? Later that summer, we picked some of the biggest, juiciest, most amazing peaches in living memory from that tree. You see, the remaining fruit were beneficiaries of the lightened load. And together with our little son, we harvested bushel baskets full of delicious, juicy, amazing, succulent peaches to share with the neighbors and family and friends. That summer, I learned something important about fruit trees and 2.5-year-olds. Number one, culling and abundance can lead us to an even greater harvest. And number two, little ones should always be encouraged in the garden. Pruning, friends, is a hard reality. None of us like it. None of us understand of it. None of us want it. It comes hard on us, and we feel every loss, every disappointment, every broken piece of our life. But God loves us enough sometimes to remind us who we are and cuts back our expectations, our ego, our willfulness, to make us remember to stay connected to the true vine. If, as the gospel lesson says today, Jesus is the vine and God is the vine dresser, then it's the Holy Spirit that runs through the vine, that keeps us alive, that feeds us and nourishes us, that renews us in the springtime of the year. Having been cut back, bleeding and bruising from experiences we don't ask for and things that we don't want, we come out the stronger and ready to grow and produce fruit for God's glory and God's strength. The very value in that fruit is its sweetness, its flavor, having been connected to the true vine. The troublesome verse, of course, is verse 6 in this passage of Scripture. "Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire to be burned." And we don't like to hear that. But this is not a verse of condemnation, friends, because Jesus wasn't all about that. It is instead a statement of life. Without connection to a life source, abundance is not possible. Without a connection to Jesus Christ, we can't find our way home. Without a connection through the Holy Spirit, we don't have the source we need to find the meaning in life, to experience the joy in life, which is meant to be shared. As followers of Jesus Christ, you and I are meant to bear fruit, and we can't expect to do that if we're disconnected from the true vine. After a long illness, a woman died and arrived at the pearly gates. And while she was waiting for St. Peter to greet her, she peeked in through the gate. She saw a beautiful banquet table, and there were all her family members and friends who had gone on before her. And they saw her, and they began to call greetings to her. "Hello, dear, I've been missing you. How are you? Good to see you." And she called out to them, and she said, "How do I get in? This is wonderful." St. Peter came by, and she said, "How do I get in? It's wonderful." He says, "You have to spell a word." "What's the word?" "You have to spell love. L-O-V-E. And St. Peter welcomed her in, and she came in and was greeted by her family and friends, and she just ate it up. It was absolutely amazing. About 6 months later, St. Peter came to the woman and asked her to watch the gates of heaven for him. He had an errand to run, and so he needed her to watch the gates. And while the woman was guarding the gates of heaven, her husband arrived. "I'm surprised to see you," she said. "How have you been?" "Oh, I've been doing pretty well," he said, "since you died. I married the beautiful young nurse who took care of you while you were ill. And you know what? We won the lottery. So I sold that little house you and I lived on all those years and bought a brand new giant mansion. And my new wife and I moved in and traveled around the world. And today, just this week, we were on a sumptuous European holiday. No expenses were spared, and we went water skiing. And I fell, and the water ski hit my head, and here I am. How do I get in? It's so beautiful." The woman, thinking to herself, said, "You have to spell a word." "Which word is that?" he asked. "Czechoslovakia." All too often, when we rely on our own strength for success, we end up doling out vengeance instead of love. We laugh at the woman who made her husband spell Czechoslovakia because I suspect that we laugh because we recognize something of ourselves in her. Egos get checked. The world can be a cruel place. We don't care to be pruned back at all, even by God. If you're traveling in wine country out of season and see a vineyard which is overrun with branches and some weeds, then it's clear that the master of the vineyard assumes no more fruit will come from these plants. The next spring, they'll probably bring in a large backhoe, and they'll dig up those vines and burn them and plant new start new plants, because it takes up to 3 years for the first fruit to be born in a vineyard. But if you see the vineyard where all of the plants are still pruned, then it is clear that the master still expects fruit from them. If you see the vineyard where the branches are bleeding, brown and red, and seem to be weeping, bruised, it may not be now, but it will be sometime. And the master still expects fruit to come from that vineyard. As we experience the pruning in our own life, please know that the master still expects fruit from us, to come from our life, from our situations, from our challenges, from our struggles. It may not be now, it may not be tomorrow, as we deal with whatever difficulty we have been facing, but it will be sometime. And because the Lord is willing to prune us, he expects fruit from us. We have a purpose which is important to serve. Spiritual and emotional pruning are necessary parts of life. We may not like it. We may not understand it. When it's happening to us, we may not desire it. We may feel put upon. But we don't seem to be able to maintain our own personal well-being or take part in our community without accepting some essential limits to our egos and ourselves. Last week, I shared with you that my father turned 86, and we had a party at my brother's house. We were doing like we always do, talking about things in life and in the world. I grew up talking about the minister's sermon. We grew up talking about accomplishments, about grades, about politics. And this past week, we were celebrating my father's 86th birthday, and we were talking about how to solve homelessness. It was a light meal, right? Light conversation. And there, my sister-in-law, a psychiatrist, my brother, a physician, my other brother, a businessman, my My youngest brother wasn't there. He's an attorney. Myself, we all had things to say, and also my sister. I don't know if I said the right thing to her. She was busy telling us how she had tried to follow all the rules in life and how she felt bad that that just hadn't worked out. My loving sister, she's been married twice. She has no kids. She has a job that's really tough. She's a work hardening specialist for veterans so that when they come home with closed head injury, they can actually get work without threatening their VA benefits. You know, if you've been injured by a bomb alongside of the road, you're probably not going to be a brain surgeon or even a fireman. Anyway, she was going on and on about how she felt that somehow she'd always missed out on self-love, that she didn't like herself very much. And she thought that that was key not only to the discussion about homelessness, but also about her own situation. And after going on about how self-love was missing in her life and how she didn't like herself very well, I don't know if this is the right thing to say, I just blurted it out. You know, it seems to me, in my experience, most people don't like themselves very much at all. You're not alone in that. Most people struggle to have their egos in check. Most people struggle because the world boxes them upside the ears. Most people have difficulty accepting themselves, let alone anybody else. And that's why we need God. If you and I cannot accept some essential limits to our egos and ourselves, if you and I cannot accept some pruning, then we will remain always a child, always focused on ourselves, always completely convinced that we're the only ones who don't like themselves, and that's why all these bad things happen to us, when no. Those are the signals that turn us to the source. At least in my experience, and I may be wrong, this is an argument for us to connect with the source who is God. Some years ago, some of you will remember Richard Daley, who was mayor of Chicago. He was mayor for 21 years, and he was known for a rather forbidding political figure, kind of a big ego. One day, Mayor Daley's speechwriter came to him and said, "I need a raise. I have a family. I need a raise. I haven't had one for a really long time. You're taking advantage of me by not paying me enough money." According to the story, Mayor Daley responded as he could be expected. "I'm not going to give you a raise. I already pay you enough money. You should know that it's a great thing. It should be enough for you that you're working for one of America's greatest heroes, like myself." And that was the end of it, he thought. 2 weeks later, Mayor Daley was on his way to give a speech to a convention of veterans. The speech was going to receive nationwide attention. And now, one other thing you need to know about Mayor Daley was that he was famous for not reading his speeches until he got up to deliver them. So he stood there before a vast throng of veterans and nationwide press, and he began to describe the plight of the veterans. He said in his voice, stentorian, "I'm concerned for you. I have a heart for you. I am deeply convinced that this country needs to take care of its veterans. And so today, I am proposing a 17-point plan that includes the city, the state, and the federal government to care for the veterans of this country." By this time, the employee and everyone, including Mayor Daley, was on the edge of their seats to hear what the proposal was going to be. He turned the page and saw only these words. True story. You're on your own now, you great American hero. You're on your own now, you great American hero. I don't know if Daley, with his great big ego, learned anything that day, but we should have learned by now that all of us, no matter how great we think we are, need help. We need friends who will stand by us when the chips are down. We need family which will give us sympathy and hope when we have lost our way. We need advocates to work behind the scenes to make us who we are And we need to be able to turn to God in our time of need. And that advocate, friends, is the Holy Spirit. That which flows through the vine to the branches and out to the fruit and flower is the Holy Spirit. That which moves us from the stubborn places we are, where we think nobody can love us, even God can't love us, is the Holy Spirit. That's the advocate that we need. That which produces fruit, that which produces succulent fruit, that which bears us through the most difficult of days, the Holy Spirit, is known to us together in a community of faith. We don't always get what we ask for. We sometimes face disappointments in our relationships, in our homes, in our hearts, in our faith. But we are meant to bear fruit together. The proof is that we have been pruned back. We have been culled back. We have been brought up short so that we may endure periods when our egos and ambitions for the church are pruned. So we may bear up when we are sick and cut back to acknowledge God, the source of our strength and the sustenance for us to bear fruit beautiful, fruit succulent, the very value of our lives. I want to send you home today with a piece of homework. How are you going to stay connected to God, the true vine, this week? How are you going to stay connected to God, the true vine, this week? Any ideas? What are you going to do? This is not a rhetorical question. I'm asking you to make a plan. One thing that you're going to do to stay connected to Jesus Christ, to God, to the Holy Spirit this week. What can you do? Pray. You can pray. Good. Good. Good start. What else?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible. Fine. Anybody going to work in the garden this week? I am. Stay connected to the vine. Remember where you came from. I spent this weekend, and I'll spend this afternoon after the inclusivity meeting. I'm refurbishing a planter which originally started life as a pig trough for my great-grandfather, right? It's made of cedar, but the boards on the bottom are completely rotted out, so I have refurbished it entire, and now we'll lay dirt in it, and I've got strawberry plants to put in the place to grow something new. Connected to the ancestors, connected to nature, connected to gardening, connected to God. What are you going to do? Somebody over here? What are you going to do to stay connected to God? What's your plan to do that? Yes, Kevin?
Do something extra for somebody in need.
Do something extra for somebody in need. You're going to be watching for that, and he's going to respond when the time comes. Anybody over here? What are you going to do? Yeah. Raise God's children. And that requires some pruning sometimes, I know from my experience. Yeah, that's difficult. What are you going to do? You see, staying connected to God, true vine, branches, fruit and flower, flower and fruit, really is a heart decision. It involves our choice making. It involves our decision. This is not a pretty story about how to grow vines in the Middle East of the world. It's not about history and Jesus telling us how to be good vineyard makers and keepers. It's about making plans to stay connected to the truth, the true vine of God, the source of our strength. And if you don't choose to do that, it won't happen. It won't happen. So it's your decision how you choose to do that. But maybe next week you come and tell me how you experienced connection with the true vine. Grace and peace to you this day. In Christ's name, amen. Our closing hymn, Faith While Trees Are Still in Blossom. Thank you. We have food for about 10 of you. If you'd like to stay, be my guest, and I encourage you to, or rejoin us at 2 o'clock for the inclusivity team. But know God's grace in this hour of worship. May you experience his hope and promise, his fruitfulness into your life. And may us endure a little pruning so that our egos and our plans don't get in God's way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.